and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and 9-month FY24 conference call of Trucap Finance Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of a company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Juneja, Managing Director from Trucap Finance Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to our earnings call today. In the third quarter of fiscal 24, we reported a 30% quarter-on-quarter growth in pre-tax profits to 35 million rupees, driven by robust disbursements of 3 billion, up from 2.95 billion in the previous quarter and 1.75 billion a year ago. For the first 9 months of the year, disbursements have been 8.62 billion, up from 4.9 billion a year ago, representing increasing scale and volume driven by expansion of our distribution network coupled with addition of co-lending partners. To illustrate on both these important points further, number one, on capital allocation, we have expanded our suite of lending as a service partners from one lender a year ago to five lenders today, which include HDFC Bank, DCB Bank, Shivalik Small Finance Bank, Central Bank of India, and Ugrow Capital. This addition of partners has enabled us to disperse 8.62 billion in the first 9 months of the year, of which these partners have contributed 3.75 billion. This means that 4.87 billion of disbursements has happened through our own resources, for which we have raised debt of 2.98 billion while having repaid 2.2 billion of debt in the first 9 months of the year. Net debt growth of 0.77 billion in the first 9 months of the year has helped us grow disbursements by almost 862 crores, which translates to an AUM buildup of 270 crores. The benefits of this accretion should reflect in earnings numbers in fiscal 25. Due to this strategy adopted on capital efficiency from August 2021, our leverage continues to remain low at 2.3x versus 2.0x in the previous quarter. On distribution, with the expansion of lending as a service relationships, Trucap is catering towards larger volume of disbursements, which is evident in the progress of monthly disbursements seen in the quarter. From 929 million in October, we finished the quarter with over 1.2 billion in monthly disbursements in December, which was the highest for us in the company's history. November was a slower month for disbursement given Diwali holidays and the fact that the business became slightly more competitive than what we wanted to offer pricing to our customers. Our distribution footprint has gone up from 53 branches in the last 1 year to 128 branches at the end of December 2023. The majority of our branch openings have been in Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 4 towns, which today represent almost 85% of our branch presence. Our footprint today covers the states of Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Rajasthan, Delhi NCR, Punjab, and Goa, and further branch additions at an opportunistic time will happen in these states. Given that the majority of our co-lending partnerships are driven by the MSME gold loan product, over 77% of our quarterly disbursements were driven by MSME gold loans. Our track record in the gold-backed product has been fairly resilient, with over 22.3 billion of cumulative disbursements done over the last 3.5 years, with only 0.1 billion being taken into auction, where we have recovered more than 104% of principal plus interest and given money back to the customer. Also, GNPAs in this product are a meager 10 basis points. In the collateral-free MSME business loan product, we disbursed 0.69 billion in the quarter, compared to 0.72 billion in fiscal 2Q24. Cumulatively, we have disbursed 6.36 billion in the MSME business loan product, with our GNPAs there being 3.6%. Assets under management at the end of December 2023 were 8.5 billion, up from 7.8 billion in September 23 and up 67% over the last 1 year. The product composition of our total on and off balance sheet AUM today is 65% in gold loans, 34% in MSME business loans, and 1% in loan against property and personal loans, which are in runoff mode. Active customer count, which was 24,000 in December 2021 and almost 65,000 in December 2022, is up to almost 85,000 customers today. We have almost 21,000 women borrowers today, while we have lent to over 60,000 women entrepreneurs since we began business in 2018. New to credit customers account for almost 30% of our borrowing base. Gross NPAs in the quarter came in at 1.4% versus 2.7% a year ago. This improvement year over year has been driven by a relentless focus on resolving legacy LAP and personal loans, which last year were almost 55% of our gross NPAs. Today, only 7% of our NPAs come from the legacy LAP and personal loan bucket, which are also in the process of being resolved by the end of this fiscal year or by the end of the first quarter in June. Collection efficiency in the gold loan product is well north of 200% due to prepayment, repayment, part payments and closures, while for the business loan product, collection efficiency has ranged from 90 to 95% since September 2022. Lastly, on the cost-to-income ratio, which we are looking to improve through productivity and tech enhancement, we disbursed almost 36,100 loans in the December quarter versus 40,000 loans in fiscal 2Q24 and 22,000 loans in December 2022. This means we averaged almost 400 loans made per working day in December 2023 versus 437 loans in September 2023 and 237 loans per day a year ago. Almost 47% of our branches are profit-making on a cumulative basis as of December 23, and we expect this number to go up to 65% in the next few months. 48% of our branches have less than a 12-month vintage, which should reach break-even in the next 6 to 9 months. 45% of our 128 branches have an AUM in excess of 40 million rupees, and we are now very keenly focused on substantially improving branch productivity, which is measured in loans per day, per branch, per person, and the resulting profitability it brings to the business. With that, I'd like to open the call for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you can press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Nikhil Arora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. And congratulations on a good set of numbers. But I just want to understand if, you know, the banks are moving more into the gold loan space. So, I mean, will this affect the market share of NBFC? I just want to have an idea.
So what we have seen, Nikhil, is that banks are very willing to collaborate with NBFCs like us, and for us that's a win-win. The reason being that the customer segment that we cater to is very different from what the banks cater towards. So it's been a collaboration model, and that's evident with co-lending partnerships that we've struck, be it with an HDFC bank, DCB bank, or with Central Bank with India, and also with Shivalik Small Finance Bank. So the customer segmentation is slightly different for sure. The services offered are different, and obviously the rates and other charges are different too. We truly believe it's a world of collaboration and not competition, so we're not looking to compete with other NBFCs, other banks, etc. Where we are looking to take market share away from is the unorganized sector.
Okay. So fair view. And also, sir, out of our total branches, like how many of the branches would have been reaching the break-even stats, if you can provide the number?
Yeah, so break-even, as I mentioned in my comments, about 47% of our branches on a cumulative basis have broken even. Year-to-date, that number is higher. It's about 54%. Also, almost 53 or 54% of our branches have less than a 12-month vintage, because we opened quite a few branches from June onwards, especially in Gujarat and Rajasthan. So those branches should be breaking even in the next few months.
Okay. And so one last thing, that we are posting a 30%, roughly 30% growth in a profit. So can we expect a similar range of growth in the coming quarter?
We would not like to give guidance on profit growth going forward. The business is dynamic, but obviously the endeavor is to strive for higher and higher profit. I think there's good enough muscle in the distribution model that we have built today, and hopefully we'll be able to keep up the performance, but we would not like to give any formal guidance on percentage numbers for profit growth or for AUM growth.
Okay, sir. That was very helpful, and all the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Yes, Ms. Neha, you are unmuted. Please go with the question.
Hello.
Yes, Neha, we can hear you.
Yes. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. I just had two questions. One is regarding the plan to introduce fee income. So what is the target for that? And what is the total amount of AUM it will constitute?
So fee income, Neha, does not contribute to AUM. Fee income as a percentage of total income will be in the 20 to 25% range as a percentage of total income. We have several components that go into fee income, but the idea is a good amount of fee income should pay for the OPEX. That's the way we like to try, and that's the way we're looking to build the model. But it doesn't go into AUM.
And how soon we see that in action?
I think we're getting good traction there. So going forward as well, you should expect a consistent run rate like you're seeing right now. The other thing that you'll also see is interest income also will continue to grow nicely, just given the fact that there's a spread earned on the co-lending partnerships. So as we continue to build on these partnerships and muscle is added to the disbursement engine, as these branches start becoming more and more productive and start reaching break-even, there should be a good impetus on the interest income as well. So both of them should do well going forward. And I think, you know, proof lies in eating the pudding. So we should see that in the next few quarters.
Okay. And just one last question. So since we see that co-lending has been increasing, so how do we expect debt? Like, where are we comfortable? What is our comfortable debt level today?
So we are at 2.3x debt to equity now. The comfortable debt level for us would be somewhere closer to about 3x. As a prudent measure, what we formally have in our articles of incorporation as well is that anything at 3.5x or above will have to go to the board for a vote, and anything over 4.5x will have to be a unanimous vote. So we've never gone to the board for a vote on that, because we've never crossed that debt threshold. A comfortable level would be around 3x, and obviously there are certain other plans that we would have at that point in time as to how we maintain it at about anywhere between 2 to 3x.
Okay. Thank you so much, and good luck for your future endeavors.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Aniket Redko, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Very good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hello. Yeah. Sir, I just want to understand, as we are tied up with this UCO Capital, so what is the contribution for the combined OU?
So Ugrow is actually one of us. Ugrow has given us a co-lending line for the business loan product. The contribution to the AUM over there is just under 40 crores.
Okay, okay, okay. Any guidance for the revenue and the revenue guidance for the next 2 years?
So I think we'll be in a better position to give some form of formal guidance with the end of fiscal year 24 results. And we can potentially do that for fiscal 25 and 26, but not now, at the end of fiscal 24. We'll look to try and do that for investors.
Okay, okay. And sir, any new product offering or any other services as compared to our competitors are in the line? Or are we doing any something which we can give better than the competitor levels? Do we have any plans in future?
So what we're doing on product is, you know, if you just break down our portfolio, 65% of the AUM comprises of the gold loan product. In the gold loan product, we are not looking to do anything new. The idea over here is to continue to enhance scale, which will bring in more profitability. And that will come in now through obviously additional disbursements with co-lending partners and also enhancing productivity of the branches. So that's on the gold. On the business loan product, which is about 34% of AUM, there we've introduced certain other nuances within business loans. So for instance, we've started the three-wheeler EV product. And there we're doing it through an anchor-based approach where we tied up with an OEM and also with the dealers. So it's a tri-party. And the idea over there is through an anchor-based approach, you are definitely much safer in terms of originating the asset, and the dealers also help you recover on any potential delinquencies from borrowers, since the end user is the one that's being funded via a business loan product. Other than that, I think we'll be able to spell out more details with the end of fiscal 24 results, where we'll put out a detailed plan for investors on guidance along with the product breakdown.
Okay, okay. Thanks. From my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Nihar Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. I have two questions. So recently I've noticed over the last two quarters, portion of the portfolio which were allocated to LAAS, there has been a significant rise from 24% to 34%. So do you anticipate it becoming the primary segment of the portfolio in the near future?
So LAAS, which is lending as a service, as we call it, is the business that we do with these co-lending partners. We started this business in August 2021 with one partner, and then the next partner we added was only in December 2022, which was Shivalik Small Finance Bank after Central Bank of India. And since then, we've added three other partners, which are Ugrow Capital, HDFC Bank, and DCB Bank. So as these partners have gotten added, or co-lending relationships, what we call lending as a service, obviously the portfolio will expand because there's a certain volume commitment that we've given these partners in terms of monthly disbursements. It's gone up to about 41% of the total business today. We anticipate it will be between 40 to 45% of the business going forward as well.
So if you could reiterate what potential earnings could be derived from it.
That the earnings, the way it works over there is it's an 80-20 relationship. The co-lending partner does 80% of the disbursement while we do 20% of the disbursement. We make a spread on their 80% contribution and we make the entire yield on our 20% contribution. We have not broken down what exactly the profit is or the revenue is from that 80% versus the 20% out to investors. That will potentially be part of the business plan that we can spell out post the end of fiscal 24 results. I think it will be more conducive to do it at that point in time where we'll be able to give out annual numbers.
Okay. Lastly, if you could provide some details on the fee structure applicable to LAAS?
So the structure that it works with LAAS is on the 80% contribution that is done by the partners, we earn a spread on that 80%. Along with that, there's also a split between the income that comes, whether it's through processing fees or several other things that are part of the loan structure. On our 20%, we earn the entire interest yield that is charged to the customer, plus the other charges that are part of the loan processing efforts, etc. Now, do also understand that in this, while it may seem very, very conducive, there's also a sourcing, servicing, and collection cost associated with it, because the entire front face for the customer happens to be from the two cab branches, and the entire effort on sourcing, servicing, collection has to be borne by us. So that entire cost is borne by us. That cost is not given to the partner.
Understood, sir. Thanks for the insight and wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, sir. Congrats on a good quarter. Sir, I wanted to ask if you would look to increase focus on unsecured loans since the yields are relatively higher in that section.
So, there continues to remain a focus on both the products, the secured and the unsecured product. As a percentage of disbursement, today the secured product is between 80 to 85% of quarterly disbursements, while the unsecured product is between 15 to 20%. In terms of AUM buildup, the secured product takes longer for us, the reason being it's a gold-backed product and gold, the runoff is faster. So going forward, I think we'll continue to see the same, relatively same proportions for both the products, because the AUM buildup for the secured product for us takes longer, given the fact that it's a shorter tail product with gold. So long story short, it's not that we're going to increase the focus on the unsecured product, but the disbursement proportion will remain relatively the same. And then it all depends on how fast the AUM buildup happens, which is largely contributed by the runoff in gold. So if I had to give you a number, you would continue to see it in the same proportion as you're seeing it today.
Understood. Understood. Thank you, sir. And speaking of gold, you know, in terms of our competitive space, even with banks, since banks are relatively, you know, going aggressive on the gold loan area, would you see that as a competition for NBFCs, or what's your take on that, sir?
My personal take is that the gold loan market has always been competitive. It's not that there's not been competition in the gold loan space. Now the question is, who are you competing with? So we are not looking to compete with banks. We are not looking to compete with many of the other organized players. We are actually, on the contrary, looking to collaborate with them, which is through these co-lending or lending as a service partnerships. The market segmentation of who the banks go after and who NBFCs go after also are slightly different. So their collaboration model works very well in our view. If you look at the history of the gold loan market in India, the unorganized market is still almost 65% of the total lending gold market in India. That is where we want to make inroads and take market share away from the unorganized sector. While banks and NBFCs have taken market share away over the last two decades from the unorganized sector, but they still own 65% of the market. So that is where our focus is. Also, if you look at the ticket size segment where banks operate, it's a higher ticket size relative to us. So they also looking to penetrate to a lower ticket size customer through conduits like us, NBFCs, who they are forming a co-lending relationship with.
Got it. Understood. So in a way, at some point in future, we could be working in liaison with a bank as well.
We already are right now with them. The co-lending partnership is a very collaborative process, and it's a very exhaustive process. So believe it or not, to tie up with a bank for a potential co-lending partnership is a very long process, because not just you have to agree on policy, product, and process, you have to agree on risk mitigation, collection, reconciliation, integration. So it's not that you can just tie up with someone so easily. Like, there has to be a lot of comfort on the side of the bank, their risk management process, their underwriting process, with the NBFC. So it's a very collaborative process, which is exhaustive.
Right. Okay. And sir, just to touch upon our lending against property, since that is on the decline, have we completely exited? And as the quarters come by, what would be this impact on our gross NPA of our exit from the LAP loan section?
So LAP had at one point in time contributed to almost 55% of total NPAs, which is down to about 7% of NPAs today. It's less than 1% of our loan book, which we expect will run down over the course of the next 9 to 12 months. We don't think the LAP book will contribute to a significantly larger NPAs than 10% of the total NPAs going forward. So the idea is to resolve the existing accounts, get them out of the portfolio, and that's not a product that we're interested in. Also, please remember that the LAP product that we did, which was in the first full year of business for us in fiscal 18, was a slightly higher ticket LAP portfolio catering towards the MSMEs only in the cities of Bombay and Pune. That time we did not have an active branch presence, and that time we had no external debt as well. So it was only done in Bombay and Pune with an average ticket size of about 30 to 31 lakhs. It is not the affordable LAP which many other players are doing today, which is in the 1 to 10 lakh ticket size segment, which has a higher yield. So our LAP was very different, which is what we did, which is what we recalibrated post IL&FS in September 18.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Just one last question, sir. If you could give some color on what kind of investment we'll be doing in technology in terms of to help scale up the disbursements, and if there are any partners on the horizon for us, in terms of co-lending.
So on the partners for co-lending, I think, you'll see it over a period of time. There's only so much I can say at this point in time. The existing partners that we have to give them a certain amount of volume, which our branches are doing at this point in time. I would wait for time for you to see yourself if there are any additions to co-lending partners. Those are discussions that are always in the pipeline. On your first question on technology, so the big focus on technology for us today is to make sure two things happen. Firstly, the customer journey is a fairly easy journey for the customer, where there's a very low drop-off between lead and login. So what happens in the industry oftentimes is there's a significant drop-off from lead to login, either because the customer journey is not that easy, or either the kind of documentation that is required by the lender is too difficult for the customer to give you, because of which the customer becomes not interested. So the first focus is on that. And the second focus is then, once a file has been logged into the system, how efficient can you be to make sure that your file gets from login to disbursement or login to rejection in the easiest manner? So what do I mean by that? The customer should know whether they can get a loan or they can't get a loan, and then depending on the terms of the loan, on what can be offered to a customer, whether the customer is going to take that or not. So our biggest focus now is on that. We made certain enhancements to both the products in terms of tech. So there was a Gold 2.0 that went live in our loan management system, which is the back end. In the business loan product as well, the BL 2.0 is going to go live. It's in UAT right now. It will go live fairly soon. And then we'll further enhance it to make sure the productivity rises of our sales force and the collection force, so that we can disperse more having the same manpower. So tech for us is a true enabler to the business on how you scale, how you generate more profitability. We are not an end-to-end digital lender where, based on certain algos, loans will get dispersed automatically. We do a personal discussion with every borrower below a certain ticket size. There's a video personal discussion that's done, but we are not an end-to-end algo lender.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. So, sir, we don't have a specific budget to invest in technology, do we?
We do have a budget, which is part of our annual business plan that gets presented to the board. The board approves the plan, only then that budget gets spent for technology. We had very ambitious plans on certain other things that we were looking to do about 2 years ago on technology. That has not happened, given all the changing regulation that has come up on digital lending guidelines. Now the simple focus on us from technology and the budget that goes into technology is to enhance scale and profitability. It's as simple as that.
Fair enough, sir. That makes sense. Thank you so much for addressing my question, sir, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Harsh Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. I just wanted to ask, what is the OPEX of each branch? And do we see any improvement in the quarters coming ahead?
So the OPEX without any CAPEX on per branch basis is roughly about 1.5 lakh rupees a month. You have to remember this is not a traditional business loan branch. This is the traditional gold loan branch where you can now cross-sell BL as well. So for a traditional gold loan branch, our branch structure has 4 people per branch. And then obviously the salaries, the petty cash, all the other expenses, that's about 1.5 lakh a month. And then if you're going to cross-sell the BL product, there's an additional cost to that because the salespeople for both the products are different. You cannot have an intermingling between sales for both the products. There can be a cross-sell effort, no doubt about it, but the gold loan salespeople and branch people will do the gold loan product. In that branch, you'll have separate people who do the BL product, which we've done. So the idea behind creating a branch structure of a larger size was we first stabilize the branch with the gold loan product and then add additional products onto the branch, which we are doing at this point in time. Separately, can we serve as a business correspondent or as a co-lending partner on other products? With larger lenders, that is also something that is being explored at this point in time.
Okay. And, sir, could you give any guidance on the cost of borrowing?
So, cost of borrowing for us looks high because there's a non-cash charge of a corporate guarantee expense, which we are working with lenders to bring down. That essentially the non-cash charge only because the largest investor of ours, who's our promoter group, gives the corporate guarantee to lenders on behalf of TrueCap Finance. As we've gotten bigger, we've raised debt now in the last quarter, especially without the corporate guarantee as well. So I would not like to give formal guidance on the cost of borrowing at this point in time. That will perhaps be part of a business plan that we can share with investors going forward at the end of fiscal 24.
And sir, if you see the promoter stake has been reducing, could you share some light on that?
So I can't give comments on why the promoter stake has reduced. Firstly, if you're looking cosmetically at why the promoter stake has reduced from 60-odd% to about 47% today, the large part of that has happened because of capital infusions that happened into the company. So the promoter group infused capital into the business along with key management in November 2020, along with three times prior to that. Post-November 2020, in April 2021, May 2022, and very recently as well, external shareholders have invested equity capital into the business. So that was natural dilution due to which the promoter stake went down, and that quantum was almost 100 crore rupees. That's number one. There's been a small amount of secondary sale that has happened by the promoter group, but that was a few months ago, and that was in the normal course of business. So there's nothing out of the ordinary over there.
Thank you, sir. And my last question, sir, is we see there's an update on the rating of the company. What effect would it have on our borrowings?
So hopefully if we, so the last rating update that we had was we got a outlook upgrade from CARE where they've maintained the rating at BBB and they upgraded the outlook to positive. Obviously our endeavor with the rating agencies is to get an upgrade based on several parameters that they set out and also on the performance of the company. A potential rating upgrade if and when it happens would be a very positive would be a positive development for the company, given the fact that one is not just do additional lines open up with banks, additional lines open up with banks at a lower cost of funding as well. So we are very, very anxious to try and see whatever we can do to upgrade our credit rating because it will significantly enhance our cost of funds and because of that, the bottom line.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants may press star and one to ask question. if there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Juneja from True Cap Finance Limited for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. We look forward to talking with everyone on the next quarter's earnings call. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of True Cap Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.